Let's pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for all these ancient words bring to us today. We pray that you would make us attentive and help us to learn what we ourselves can learn. Amen. Familiar reading. Rachel, how many of the readings to do with roads are familiar? Emmaus Road, this road, Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and the Good Samaritan, of course, a story about a road. And there are probably others too. Something about roads that give us a chance to have good and interesting and engaging narratives or stories. This is after the resurrection, of course, after all those resurrection appearances. So it's a little out of sequence, but the lectionary threw it up today, this story from Acts. After the persecution of the followers of Jesus had begun, Philip was one of those who scattered from Jerusalem, first went to Samaria, north of Judea and Jerusalem. He preached there, and we're told, I'm paraphrasing, of course, that even those dodgy Samaritans were filled with the Holy Spirit, even then. And then suddenly, we have our passage, and the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go south again, go to the desert road. And it was there that he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. And through that encounter, we see the first recorded instance of the apostles bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to a Gentile, an African, almost certainly a black African, being from Ethiopia. And we might observe to someone to whom in modern times we might apply the label non-binary. It's tempting to say that it's an interesting part of the story of the spread of the gospel, but not one that really impacts or should impact our lives. But it does impact our lives, or at least I think it should. Let me take a run-up to how I think it impacts us. There are standouts, two of them really. Firstly, the role of the Spirit. Spirit tells Philip to go south. The Spirit tells Philip to go up to the chariot and stay with it. Actually, in one translation, one could say to glue himself to it, get right up to that chariot. And the Spirit had undoubtedly also given Philip the ability to explain the scripture. The Spirit was active in baptism. Those things aren't directly referenced in our little passage. And then the Spirit, directly referenced again, whisks Philip away when the job is done. So the Spirit is alive and active. Which sort of gives us the opportunity to say, oh, but that was then and we are now. So for us, the passage is interesting but impacting. But we've got to be cautious about that. The Spirit is active today as the Spirit was active then. And the second standout preliminary is Philip's obedience, of course. He went south as the Spirit had commanded. He joined himself to that chariot. More of that in a moment. He did what needed to be done in terms of engaging with the man in the chariot, asking questions, listening, answering. And he seized the moment to explain Christ in the scriptures and then to carry out the baptism. The work of God through the Spirit and through scripture and the obedience of an individual working together to bring the good news of Christ to a lost but searching soul. From our point of view, what we have, apart from the undeniable historical interest, I mean, how did Christianity come to spread to that ancient little community in Ethiopia? Well, here's how, maybe. What we have is a little insight, one of the many that the New Testament gives us, in how to spread the faith, in how to be evangelistic, how to play our part in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Not through institution, through inviting people to church, but personally. And we see, first of all, I think, the importance of seizing the moment. It's so difficult to do. The good evangelists, those whom we admire, who talk easily, naturally, and effectively about their faith, when they write about what they do, they sometimes say that they pray every day for an opportunity to spread their faith. To bring the good news. And they pray that they would seize the opportunity when it comes. It's a question of obedience more than anything, and acceptance that the most important thing that anyone needs in their lives is to know and trust Jesus Christ for themselves. A difficult thing to claim, a difficult thing to believe, but I believe it to be true. And it's a question of realizing that God, through God the Holy Spirit, does give us opportunities to speak of Christ. I can tell you, I have missed so many of them. I mean, so many. Think later, oh, I could have mentioned my faith. That's because of my sin. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. Peter says that we should always be ready with an explanation of the good news we have received. Paul prays that our feet should be shod with the readiness to share the gospel. To do that, we need to pray for moments to come. We need to pray to be alert to them. And then we need to take a deep breath and dive in. I think you could bet your house on the fact that Philip had to take a deep breath and dive in. It says so in our text, so I'm putting stuff into the text, but I don't know. I bet it was true. It takes bravery. This Ethiopian was a really important person. The mental picture we might have of him, and I think some of the Victorian artworks that one sees, show him travelling alone through the desert. I think that has to be wrong. This is a really important guy who one can imagine would have had attendants. There was certainly a driver of his chariot. He was reading and someone else was driving. It must have been soldiers, armed guards at least. Philip had fled from Jerusalem and been an itinerant preacher in Samaria. He might well have looked like a bit of a tramp by this stage. Making that contact was bold, not to say foolhardy, brave. He had to summon up his courage, seize the moment. Being scared was okay. Being obedient was what was needed. Acting in the moment was the result. Maybe that's our first lesson. When I haven't mentioned Christ, when it's not just that I've forgotten or you know, not had the idea, sometimes I've had the idea and not done it. And it's that bravery thing, I think. God's got it. It's going to be all right. Bravery. Then there was the question of listening. More than talking, at least initially, asking good questions that come out of that other person's situation. Philip listened to find out where the Ethiopian was at. Do you get what you're reading? What do you think of that book? He seized the moment and he listened and he asked questions that went to what the Ethiopian was himself doing. And then, of course, Philip pointed to Jesus. He did not say, well, in our text at any rate, he did not say, you're a sinner and you'll burn in hell unless you turn to Christ. There are people who think that's good evangelism. It isn't. He began at the other person's place, in the scripture he was struggling with, but it could have been anything that he was struggling with. And then he told him from that place the good news about Jesus Christ. His engagement, in other words, came from a place, I think one could call it a place of love. What are you struggling with? Not judgment. He pointed to Christ, knowing that it is Christ's task, not ours, to sort out the lives of those who receive him. It's Christ's task. Christ will clean people up, sort them out, set them on the right road. We can trust in him to bring the fruit in each life that he touches. So what have we got? Be brave and seize the moment. Engage and listen. Point to Christ. Little reminders from an ancient and slightly wacky text, but it's a wonderful account that engages us. One footnote, if I may. For Philip, the fruit, the conversion, was then and there. At least the sign of the fruit to come, maybe. The baptism, conversion was then and there. But others had gone before Philip. The Spirit had been at work in the eunuch's life, clearly. But human agencies at the temple, elsewhere too, maybe, had been doing their bit, had been seizing their moments, their work of evangelism in one way or another. Our bravery, our seizing of the moment, our listening, our pointing to Christ, things we must do, may be an endpoint, may have that marvellous result, but they may just be a stage on someone's journey, and we have to recognise that. What we say to people, the conversations we have to them, may seem to bear no fruit. But I know from my own experience, as I look back on my own path to faith, that they do. They all add up. There were, as it were, in my own life, many Philips on successive desert roads, if you like. I'm thankful beyond measure for each of them, for their boldness, their engagement, their pointing to Christ. So I try to say to myself, and we'll try to pray for it, go and do likewise. And I pray that you would too.